Another flicker of light at the end of Europe's economic tunnel?
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Mitchell Hartman, in for Jeremy Hobson. We'll get a key U.S. employment report this morning. An uptick in job creation is expected. First, though, to Europe, where Germany's Chancellor Angela Merkel this morning is outlining a new future for economic policy, which is reassuring investors and driving down the cost of government borrowing. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard has our story.
The crisis was caused by governments in the Eurozone spending more money than they could afford. Chancellor Merkel today called for a new legally binding set of rules to control that spending. There would be close scrutiny of the national budgets by the European Commission in Brussels, and stiff fines for any country that broke the rules. Yesterday, the head of the European Central Bank said the bank would intervene further to help the euro if there were such moves towards closer fiscal union. Steve Barrow is a currency strategist with Standard Bank in London. He says investors have been slightly reassured now over the most fundamental question in this crisis.
Will the ECB use its unlimited resources to aid the eurozone? That seems perhaps more likely if there's better budget discipline in the eurozone than there is right now.
Chancellor Merkel will discuss the planned budget reforms with the French president on Monday. They'll both present the plan to a crucial EU summit 1 week from today. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
We're likely to see continued modest job growth when the Labor Department releases its November employment report later this morning, though it may not be enough to push unemployment below the current 9% level. Labor economist Gary Bertlis is with the Brookings Institution in Washington. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning.
Are we generally starting to see a little bit more strength in the job market?
On average, over the last 3 months, there's been a gain of about 114,000 per month in payroll jobs, and those are not spectacular numbers given the high unemployment rate, but they certainly indicate that there's fast enough job growth so that the unemployment rate should not be rising, and in fact, it is slowly edging down.
And what kinds of jobs have we been adding?
Well, I think there's been a tiny bit of growth in manufacturing. Education and the healthcare sector have been robust demanders for new workers, and the temporary help industry has also been adding to its payrolls.
Recently, there are some serious risks to the global economy and the U.S. economy. Could what looks like to be a slight improvement quickly be derailed?
I certainly think that the possibility of a financial crisis in the eurozone probably would shake a lot of businesses' confidence and then might lead them to lay off a lot of employees. But there's also a problem arising from the political impasse here in the United States. The deep division between the parties means it's very, very tough for the two of them to agree on measures, even to keep the stimulus measures going past the end of this month.
Gary Bertlis at the Brookings Institution, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And now let's do the numbers. Europe's markets have all been higher this morning on optimism about a euro solution. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 25 points, that's 0.2%, to 12,020. Massachusetts is suing 5 big banks over so-called robo-signing of foreclosure notices to homeowners that could derail negotiations toward a nationwide settlement.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to freakonomicsradio.com.
Car sales are up this year, but not everyone can afford a car or even wants one. That's especially true in Europe. As Caitlin Carroll reports from Berlin, German automakers see potential in the car-sharing business.
A line of young men wait at a Volkswagen shop in Hanover, Germany. They all want to register for VW's new car share program, Quick Car. 21-year-old Felix Zurich plans to visit his parents outside the city, but like many people his age,
don't have enough money to buy our own car.
So he wants to share one. The VW rep pastes a small electronic chip on Surik's driver's license. The chip will unlock one of VW's 200 cars parked throughout the city. Other German automakers also want to connect with new customers like Surik. BMW and Daimler have similar car share programs in place throughout Germany. Social science researcher Wirt Kanzler says it's a question of demographics.
The average age of Daimler customer is more than 50 years, so they have a problem with the young people.
According to a study, more than half of all young men in Germany were car owners a decade ago. Today, that number is down to a third. Kanzler says owning a car isn't as cool as it once was.
We have these small computers, we have this city trips. It's a kind of status symbol to say on Monday, oh, last weekend I was in Barcelona. And you don't need the car as a status symbol.
To change that, German car companies are resorting to a tried-and-true marketing model. Give customers an opportunity to test-drive a product and get them while they're young. Jürgen Osmer heads up marketing for VW's Quick Car program.
I think we would more than happy if people at the end of the day say, okay, I think we like Volkswagen so much that we would like to buy one. I think that would be a really nice benefit on that.
Daimler recently launched a car share program in Austin, and it plans to expand to San Diego next year. In Hanover, Germany, I'm Caitlin Carroll for Marketplace.
And finally, St. Petersburg, Florida, Detroit, Michigan, Memphis, Tennessee. If you live there, you might just be sad. These cities top a list of America's saddest places put together by Men's Health magazine. It crunched a bunch of numbers, including unemployment and use of antidepressants. No surprise, the happiest people live in Honolulu, but it's not just the balmy weather. Manchester, New Hampshire, and Fargo, North Dakota are close behind. In Los Angeles, I'm Mitchell Hartman. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.